It was just a year ago that the famous gorilla Coco died. She made a name for herself in life by learning some sign language taught to her by her handlers. One of those handlers now calls Southern Oregon home and is the focus of a new documentary film premiering in Grants Pass on Saturday evening. Anne Southcombe is the title character in Gorilla Girl, made by Hardison Films based in Grants Pass. Let's learn more about the film and the person portrayed. Three guests all in the studio. Anne Southcombe, am I pronouncing your last name even close to correctly?
That's good.
That'll work. Okay. Antonio Melendez. From Hardison Films is here, one of the co-directors. Antonio, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And Rob Grobman is here as well. Grobman or Grobman?
Grobman, yeah.
Grobman, okay. Thank you for joining us as well.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, Anne, talk about you and what got you into working with animals. You're actually a sociologist by training, is that right?
Oh, no.
Nope? Okay.
I actually started just loving animals since I was a kid. That's mm-hmm. all I was more attached to animals than humans. And I knew that I had to be with animals the rest of my life. So in 1965, when I graduated from high school, the only place I could work with animals was the Cincinnati Zoo. So I applied, and they weren't hiring women.
None. They just wouldn't hire women,
no.
Period.
Wow. So I just had to do odd jobs for 5 years, and then I went to Hawaii, and I said, if there's an opening, let me know. And in 1970, I was the second woman to be hired there. And I raised baby animals. That was my job. And of those baby animals, 7 were baby gorillas, and that's when I fell in love with gorillas.
What was it about gorillas in particular that captivated
wow.
you?
They weren't like what they were portrayed in King Kong, for one thing. They're just sweet, gentle giants, and very similar to humans, only they were hairy.
Uh-huh.
And I started corresponding with Diane Fossey because I wanted to do more than just what I was doing. I thought she could help. And so I corresponded with her for about 8 years, and she put me in touch with Penny Patterson. She said Penny was doing sign language project with Coco the gorilla. So when I started corresponding with Penny, I taught some of my little gorillas sign language and did cognitive tests with them. And then when Coco got a companion, Michael, gorilla companion, mm-hmm. Penny needed a mom and teacher for Michael, so I went out there and that's another continued gorilla job.
How difficult was it? I mean, how comprehensive did you make the vocabulary for the sign language?
Well, they were on the level of, say, a 2 or 3 year old. It mm-hmm. wasn't really high up, and that's about the sign language I learned too, you know.
Mm-hmm. And what kinds of signs? What kinds of things would you communicate?
Their food. They knew what. You know, like apple and oranges and give me a drink and chase and play and tickle. That was one of the famous ones. So, yeah.
How fast did you learn sign language?
Well, just as fast as they did, probably. And it depends, like with any of the apes that I worked with. I worked with an orangutan, too. And it depends on the incentive. So if I was teaching sign for ice cream, they learned it in a second. But if I taught the sign for bird and I put a bird feeder on the window, it took like 2 weeks because they didn't care.
Uh-huh. Okay. So there was a certain level of motivation
right.
difference
exactly.
there. Something
right.
they could eat was the stuff that
right.
got the signs
right.
fast. Okay.
Right.
Let's visit with Antonio and Rob just a bit. So it's easy to see the story that appealed here, but how did your paths cross Anne's?
Well, we had been motivated to create a series, and this is the pilot episode for the series called In Our Element. And the concept was we are both very, very connected to the earth and advocate and want to protect and sustain it. And so our vision was to create a series that showed people with a very unique connection to nature, something that's just different than a hiker or a fisherman, somebody that had a really deep connection. And as we were talking about the idea, we were trying to think of, you know, just people to consider. And it started off as like a 10, 15-minute web series concept. And then I remembered I had known Anne for a few years from being a customer at Rogue Roasters in Grants Pass. I used to be involved there, and I would see her often. And went to one of her presentations and really loved her personality and her way of communicating humility and her deep connection. And so the idea came up, hey, let's talk to Anne. And so we went to Rogue Roasters and sat down and ended up having an hour and a half conversation. And after that, we had both goosebumps. We're like, this is so much, there's so much more richness in this story than we can compress in a 10 to 15 minutes. So let's just shoot it and let's see what we get. And so then, yeah, I mean, it's kind of what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a sit-down interview with her, and I think it was probably about an hour or 2 hours of an interview. And we both looked at each other at the end and we're like, this is not a 15-minute long
film. We can't jam this into 15 minutes.
Yeah, this is a much bigger project. And I'm so happy, you know, we crossed paths with Anne when we did, because it really pushed us to making something bigger than we had expected initially.
So. And the something bigger is a documentary film called Gorilla Girl. The world premiere and a fundraiser for Wildlife Images is coming up on Saturday evening at Southgate Cinemas in Grants Pass. So we're talking to Rob Grobman, Antonio Melendez, the co-directors, and Anne Southcombe, the Gorilla Girl herself. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions, comments, welcome here at 800-838-3760 on the phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. It's a different perspective for somebody who meets you and gets to talk to you. It's your life, Anne. I mean, I just wonder what that's like for somebody to say, okay, we want to do something on just you. This is more than the news stories you had, like in Chattanooga, for example.
Right, right. For one thing, these two men have such beautiful souls. I would never have done it for just anybody, just to make a movie about my life, because that's just not me. And like, I knew that when the first day they came to my house to film, they fell in love with my madrone tree.
Uh-huh.
I mean, who would do that unless they're very special? So I went ahead and did it. And it's overwhelming. It kind of chokes me up now that all the hard work and the sadness I've gone through for 40 years and the message that I wanted to get out there will now be out there in this beautiful movie.
What's the sadness from?
Well, when you work with animals, it's like you lose them, you know. You get attached to them. You leave a job. Like Wildlife Images was one of the hardest but most spiritual, fulfilling job I ever did. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with everything, elephants and, you know, tigers. But to work with native wildlife and to take them that have been injured and be able to heal them and set them free was just amazing. But some of them don't make it, mm-hmm. you know. And the title of my book was going to be From Gorillas to Squirrels, because I love gorillas all my life. And I worked at Wildlife Images and raised my first baby squirrel. And they knocked them out to second place, and squirrels were number one. I don't know why.
Uh-huh. And so you've released a bunch of squirrels, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, is like any rehabber will tell you that you put your heart into raising these tiny babies, and then you release them, and you know, like 50% of babies don't make it to their first birthday because it's a hard life in the wild. So you have these mixed feelings of, wow, they get to go free, and oh my God, what a hard life.
But they show no hesitation. I'll tell you, I've been on a few wildlife releases over the years with Wildlife Images, and those animals go boom, out of the cage when the doors open.
And the babies, you nurture them, and you know, they play with toys, and then when they're weaned, you hands off, and they turn into who they're supposed to be really fast.
Mm-hmm. Are you working with wildlife directly at all anymore?
No. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what did you guys, Antonio and Rob, have to do then to come up with more recent footage other than the stuff from earlier in Anne's career to be able to help flesh out the story of Gorilla Girl?
Well, a lot of the film is based in her archival footage. But we also just, you know, sat with Anne. We went for a couple walks in the woods with her. We had her, actually, she has a number of animal tattoos. So part of the film, is her, getting one of her most recent tattoos. A number of different little, just moments that we captured along the way.
Wildlife Images was also a backdrop. if you get to come see the movie, there's a scene where she reunites with an animal she hadn't seen in over 5 years. And it was such, I get chills thinking about it, because you see the recognition in the animal's eyes and you see it recognize her voice. You see it intentionally get up from its shady little spot, look and come running over to her and greet her. And this is after 5 years of not seeing. And then, of course, you feel Anne's emotion. And it was just such a profound moment for me to hear the story, be, you know, developing the story, interviewing Anne, understanding the depth of emotion at a certain level that animals have, but then seeing this animal say, "Mom, is that you? It's you," and come running over and them greet each other. Such a beautiful moment. So we're grateful for Wildlife Images opening up their doors for us to be able to come and film some of the the supplemental footage in there as well.
It seems like those animal reunion videos are second only to human reunion videos as as things to share on Facebook. Do you find that same thing,
right,
Joanne?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And so I mean, how long have you been apart from some of these animals that they will recognize you? They'll come back.
Oh, I have a lot of reunion stories that, you know, 10 years maybe, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah.
Listen, we haven't covered much of your career path between Cincinnati and Grants Pass. You worked in Chattanooga for a while. Is that right?
Right. From the Cincinnati Zoo, I went to Stanford University with Michael and Coco, and then I went to University of Tennessee in Chattanooga and worked 7 years with an orangutan. And then I worked in some rescue ranches, PAWS, Performing Animal Welfare Society. And then I went to the Larry Park Zoo in the 90s, and I wasn't sure I wanted to do zoo work anymore. I mean, I worked in the zoos in the 70s when they were still bar cages, and I was just there to give meaning to those animals' lives who didn't have very good lives. And so I walked around the zoo and saw where the when I was doing what I called mind stimulation in 70s, they thought I was nuts because animals don't need that. But now in the 90s, enrichment was the number one thing for those animals. So I took the job there and was there 7 years. And then from there, I went to Wildlife Images.
So what was kind of far out there when you were doing it has become a regular thing at zoos?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And science has started to catch up with, you know, animals have thoughts and feelings similar to us too. But in the 70s, I was kind of a kook.
It's fun to watch the animals with the enrichment stuff. I went to the Desert Museum in Tucson a few years ago, and they had put one of those AstroTurf mats with the real sticky kind of grass, right. plastic grass sticking up, and an ocelot was just in love with it.
Yeah.
It was just something different.
Right. And they try to replicate, too, a lot of the things they would do in the wild, like take some of that AstroTurf and put peanut butter and then seeds and nuts in it, and then you put it on the back of their enclosures. And monkeys go through it and pick at it just like they would in the wild. So you try to replicate a lot of their behaviors that way.
Anne Southcombe, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, has worked with animals for many, many years, has helped teach sign language to gorillas and orangutans. She is the subject of the documentary film Gorilla Girl from Hardison Films in Grants Pass that'll be at a premiere and fundraiser for Wildlife Images on Saturday evening at Southgate Cinemas. We have the co-directors, the guys from Hardison Films here with us as well, Rob Groban and Antonio Melendez. You can join the conversation on the Exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. One thing I haven't asked, Anne, how did you end up in Grants Pass in 2000?
That's an interesting question. When I was working at the zoo in Florida, I was in Florida, and just everything happened sad. My favorite animals at the zoo, the colobus monkeys, got a rare disease, and they were all dying. My mom died, and my best friend died, and I just needed a big change. And I had friends that lived in Oregon, and I'd been visiting. And I loved Oregon, so I thought, well, that'll be my big change, and I don't want to work with animals anymore. I just want to go there and rest my heart. And I knew the only place would be Wildlife Images, but they were run by mostly volunteers, so I thought that was pretty safe. So I eventually started volunteering there one day a week, and then somebody quit who was paid, and they offered me the job, and there I was again.
How long a break did you have from animals completely?
A month.
That does not surprise based on your history.
Right.
And then how long were you working the one day a week before you got into
It was 2 months.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. So really a blink of an eye in your lifetime. Yeah. What leaps out about particularly the primates you've worked with after all the years of working with them?
Oh, I think when I was working especially with the sign language, I kind of wanted to learn more about their language instead of us, you know, teaching how to do our stuff. And it was kind of sad even for me when I worked with Coco because she was raised like a human, that she really wasn't much of a gorilla anymore. And I loved gorillas so much, to see this half-human, half-gorilla was sad for me. And but I did, the thing that I liked the best when I was working, say, with both Michael and Chantek, the orangutan, was I was getting paid to climb trees. That was so much fun.
That's a good job.
Chasing them in trees was like in my element.
Mm-hmm. So obviously work that goes back for a very long time. I think it was 41 years ago you met Coco. So how did you, Rob and Antonio, did Anne have a lot of footage you could lay your hands on from her?
Yeah, she had some incredible footage.
Was it all on VHS or something?
Well, you digitized a lot of it yourself, mm-hmm. And I don't know what you how you did that, mm-hmm. but it was just like a treasure trove of footage from her work in the zoos to her work with Michael the gorilla, some video from your work with the orangutans. I mean, we had some really, really amazing footage to work with. So
how long a documentary did this end up being from the original idea of a 15-minute episode?
It's about a 45-minute film now. Yeah.
And then how did it morph into this idea of having a grand opening and fundraiser?
Well, ideally, we wanted to get it out there because we created it just out of a passion project. It was to get this pilot. So as we were doing it, we realized the value of getting it to our local community to help share Anne's story because she's, you know, local. And then the fact that we were at Wildlife Images for a period of the production, it just made sense. And we always want our work to have purpose beyond just telling the story. Some of our core values is just really telling stories that impact people and have a call to action to support or inspire or grow. And so it was just a no-brainer for us to channel the energy from the release of this film into raising awareness and funds for Wildlife Images, who we support exclusively, specifically because it's where we're from. It's our local native wildlife, and then Anne's connection to it. So, yeah, and I know I have a great relationship with Dave, it just felt right.
Dave Sidden Jr. We're talking
about.
He's the executive director at Wildlife Images. Mm-hmm. What do you have the next episode in your series planned?
We have many potentials. Mm-hmm. Funding is always, you know, like if the money's there, we'll go shoot all over the world to do it. So we're also creating another series that's similar. It's telling the stories of places through the music and the culture and the people. And the music in different regions. So we're actively working on the pilot episode for that right now. We're going to be shooting it in Vancouver, BC, this fall. And so we're basically creating as much as we can, throwing it all out there and getting seeing what picks up. And all being really from the heart and wanting to tell these beautiful stories of people, you know, because we love people. Both Rob and I love people. We love hearing stories, love telling stories. So it's really... and specifically stories that inspire others, that give us some hope, that bring some positivity back into the world, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And couldn't pick a better place to start in your mind with Anne.
Exactly.
All right. Exactly. The film is called Gorilla Girl, premieres on Saturday night at Southgate Cinemas in Grants Pass. Doors open at 6, film screening at 6:45. Gail and Eugene wishes Anne the best in healing from the grief of losing animals. Oh, Anne Southcombe, thank you so much for joining us on
the
Jefferson
you.
Exchange.
Thank you very much.
Antonio Melendez, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Rob Gropman, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Best of luck with the premiere.